Why do we read these strange and frankly depressing Bible stories during Advent? I mean, isn't it supposed to be Christmas? Shouldn't we get on with the ho 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 and the jingle bells and all that jazz? Last week, Jesus was telling us to stay up all night and make sure that a robber didn't break into the house. And today, John the Baptist is talking about broods of vipers and unquenchable fire. We have to go all the way back to Isaiah to hear something as peaceful as the lion and the lamb. But even there, it talks about God striking the earth and killing the wicked. Not all churches follow this thing called the lectionary, these prescribed readings for the church year. Lots of pastors decide for themselves what stories from the Bible they're going to read each week. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. They maybe address some of the more pressing issues facing our world or say things that people want to hear. Be as it may, we follow the lectionary. And in the season of Advent, these are the Bible passages that we are given to read. But what is it about these readings for Advent that give us this kind of a dissonant feeling? Well, for one thing, Advent really isn't about Christmas. It's really not the wind-up before the pitch that Christmas hits out of the park. We treat it like that because it fits in with our culture's way of hyping and sensationalizing the weeks that come before Christmas, or maybe even the months, as it seems sometimes. But that's more about your wallet than about the Bible. If Advent is related to Christmas, it's that it's a preparation for the feast of the Incarnation, the holy day on which we remember and give thanks to God for God's fulfillment of the promise to dwell with us in the flesh. On Christmas, we read the story of Jesus' birth, not because it's Jesus' birthday, but because Jesus' birth, whenever it was, is the way that God becomes flesh and dwells among us. So Advent is a preparation for that celebration or feast, that holy day or holiday. And as we focus and plan for that celebration, we also take time to look at the many ways that God has come among us in the past and in the ways that God will come again in the future. The incarnation of God in Jesus may be the spectacular view from the majestic peak, but there's a lot of trails to explore as we make our way up and down and around the mountain. Advent takes us on some of those trails. And these sometimes confusing stories from the Bible, well, like beautiful vistas, but also bears or even snakes, these readings are the sights and sounds that we experience along the way. So Advent isn't just about Christmas. Advent helps us to see the many ways that God comes into our world, not just by Jesus' birth at Bethlehem, but by Jesus born in and through each of us, you and me, and the work that we are called to do as the people of God. And one way that we can reflect on Jesus' work in us is to look at the work of others. Others like John the Baptist, when he shared a message of repentance for the people of Judea on the banks of the Jordan River. Even that word repentance seems out of place, what with all the joy and the celebration of the season. But Advent isn't afraid of repentance. And repentance isn't just for us a matter of not doing bad things and trying to do as many good things as we can. The Gospel of Matthew says that John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And then Matthew rightly remembers and notes that this repentance of which the Baptist speaks is the same message that Isaiah spoke some 500 years earlier. That's where this highway in the wilderness idea comes from. In Isaiah's case, he wasn't berating the people to shape up and get right with God. He wasn't telling them about all of the sins that they've committed and how they're never going to get into heaven if they don't change their behavior. When Isaiah speaks of a way for the Lord that is straight and level and true, Isaiah is referring to a road upon which God will lead us into the joy of new life. For Isaiah, it's the people who have suffered captivity in Babylon who will be led by God on this highway back to their home in the land of their ancestors. So repentance here isn't so much about bad behavior as it is about turning from a life of suffering to a life of healing and hope. It's not unlike the image in today's text from Isaiah, from chapter 11. It's earlier in the Isaiah story, so it's before the captivity altogether. But the message of hope is still there. When things get bad, when the powers of this world do their best and beat us into submission and cause us to think that all is lost, look at the stump of a tree. Isaiah says, a tree that was once chopped down and all of the life in it taken away. Look to the stump of Jesse. Jesse, who is King David's father. And see the new life, the new branch that is growing from that stump. Thought long ago, dead and gone. The message is this: you can keep on living in suffering and grief, or you can turn to God. A God who perhaps you thought was as dead as a stump, but a God who is living out of death. A miracle as strange and wonderful as lions and lambs lying down in the green grass together. When John the Baptist says, repent, he's saying that this kind of new life is here today, too. It's here in this one called Jesus, and it's a beautiful new path for us to follow. Advent is about John's call to repentance. Not quitting all our sins and bad things that we're doing, although I suppose if those are the things that are giving us some sort of perverted joy, well then, yeah, those things are going to have to go too. But it's about mostly being freed from that awful life of suffering which has captivated us and others in our world. Advent is about the promise of hope that God brings to our world and the same promise he calls us to share with others. And it's also why John gets a little sideways with these Pharisees and Sadducees. He spots them out in the crowd and he calls them out. Now, Pharisees and Sadducees, they're actually slightly different sects, right? S-E-C-T-S, sects. Kind of like Lutherans and Episcopalians. But they were both tied to the very business of the temple in Jerusalem. In the opinion of John the Baptist, these religious leaders, while claiming to provide a good thing for the Jewish people. A system of the temple and its worship and prayer and sacrifice. Instead, they were really using the people for their own increase of influence and power and wealth. It happens in churches today too, doesn't it? A church leader tells the people that you got to do this and that in order to be a good member. Or you got to give money so that we can build a bigger church. And all the while, the leaders are getting rich off the power and wealth that is being amassed. John sees the Pharisees and Sadducees as part of the system that is holding people back from hope. And when they claim their right as children of Abraham, John throws it back in their face. Do not presume, he says. Remember that new road that God is building? A road that will take us in a new direction? Do not presume that you can keep following the old ways and still be on God's new pathway. Advent is about letting go of the past and letting God guide us down a new pathway, one built not on power and wealth, not on being a big, influential church that where all the important people belong. Rather, this new path that God will put us upon is a pathway leading to the people in our community who are poor and needy, hungry and cold, forgotten and rejected. Advent tells us that rather than wishing someone a blessed Christmas, that we might wish for them a blessed life and then work with them to make those blessings come true. Not just at Christmas, but throughout the year. At the end of John the Baptist's sermon, he reminds us that the baptism he performs in the wilderness is a baptism of water, but that one is coming who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now we know of whom he speaks, of course, for we know this Jesus who is no longer a babe lying in a manger in Bethlehem, and we know that Jesus is the one who does call us to be and do more than just let the waters of baptism drip from our heads and from our bodies. Advent isn't just about the coming of Jesus, about us getting ready for Jesus' coming. Advent is about the lives that Jesus has called us to live. Lives filled with the Holy Spirit, lives that will set the world on fire with justice. Advent is about how Jesus lives in each of us as we bear the image of God into a world of suffering and grief. And for whatever reason, someone desperately needs to hear and see the good news of God's love and hope in the world. May we be the ones who bear that image of Christ by virtue of our baptisms. And may we show up in their lives. Show up in their lives to bring the cleansing, refreshing coolness of water and also the fire that will burn away the sting of death. Advent is filled with images and strange and sometimes unnerving messages of the end of the world and cutting down trees that do not bear fruit. But that's because more than a holiday season of joy and peace, what the world really needs, what all of us need, is a God that is willing to do whatever it takes to break through the suffering and grief, the hate and the injustice, the pain and the death, and walk with us down that highway. The highway that leads us home. Amen.